The calves.
Calves.
Munchan. Releasing.
Quachet.
Quachet.
Sometimes.
Asamaye.
At odd times.
Grosha sanjataha saha. After this, when the head of the house is angry, Krishna begins to smile. Stayam, obtained by stealing. Swadhu,
very tasteful.
Ati, eats. Ata,
thus.
Dadipayaha,
pot of curd and milk.
Kalpitahai,
devised.
Stayayokahai, by some sort of stealing process. Markan,
to the monkeys.
Bokshan,
giving to eat.
Vipajati,
divides their portion.
Saha,
the monkey.
Chet,
if.
Not,
not.
Ati,
eats.
Hondon,
the path.
Avinati,
he breaks.
Ravya alabi.
When eatables are unavailable,
or he cannot find such pots, sagraha kupita,
he becomes angry at the residents of the house.
Yati,
he goes away.
Upakrosha,
irritating and pinching.
Tokan,
the small children.
A translation.
Our dear friend Yashoda,
your son sometimes comes to our houses before the milking of the cows and releases the calves.
And when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles.
Sometimes he devises some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter, and milk, which he then eats and drinks.
When the monkeys assemble, he divides it with them.
And when the monkeys have their bellies so full that they won't take more, he breaks the pots.
Sometimes, if he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from the house, he will be angry at the householders, and for his revenge, he will agitate the small children by pinching them.
Then, when the children begin crying, Krishna will go away.
So, you can repeat.
My dear friend Yashoda,
your son sometimes comes to our houses
before the milking of the cows
and releases the calves.
And when the master of the house becomes angry,
your son merely smiles.
Sometimes he devises some process
by which he steals palatable curd,
butter and milk,
which he then eats and drinks.
When the monkeys assemble,
he divides it with them.
And when the monkeys have their bellies so full
that they won't take more,
he breaks the pots.
Sometimes if he gets no opportunity
to steal butter or milk from the house,
he will be angry at the householders.
And for his revenge,
he will agitate the small children
by pinching them.
Then when the children begin crying,
Krishna will go away.
Okay, so purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami.
Srila Prabhupada Chintaprabhupada Ki Jai.
The narration of Krishna's naughty childhood activities would be presented to Mother Yashoda in the form of complaints. Sometimes Krishna would enter the house of a neighbor, and if he found no one there,
he would release the calves before the time for the cows to be milked. The calves are actually supposed to be released when their mothers are milked, but Krishna would release them before that time. And naturally, the calves would drink all the milk from their mothers. When the coward men saw this, they would chase Krishna and try to catch him, saying, "Here is Krishna doing mischief." But he would flee and enter another house where he would again devise some means to steal butter and curd. Then the coward men would again try to capture him, saying, "Here is the butter thief, better capture him." And they would be angry, but Krishna would simply smile and they would forget everything. Sometimes in their presence, he would begin eating the curd and butter. There was no need for Krishna to eat butter since his belly was always full, but he would try to eat it, or else he would break the pots and distribute the contents to the monkeys. In this way, Krishna was always engaged in mischief-making. If in any house he could not find any butter or curd to steal, he would go into a room and agitate the small children sleeping there by pinching them. And when they cried, he would go away. Okay, interesting verse. So, but sadmujan vachit asabaye krosya sanjata rasaha stayans vatyat yataktari paya kalpitai steya yogai markan bhujan vibhajati sachennati bandhan vinati Ravyalabe satraha kupito yat yupakrosya tokan. So, Om Ganayati Vanandasha, Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritayam, Yena Tosmai Shikurve Maha. So, this of course is the famous description of Krishna's Makan Chor. Of course, Makan Chor means the person who steals the butter. And this is actually one of the first things I heard before joining the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and somehow or other I became extremely attracted by the mischievous activities of Krishna. So why is Krishna doing these things? I think we need to ask that question. And it's not because Krishna is in need of anything. Actually, one of the opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is vairagya, or renunciation. We know about the six opulences, which we talked about the other day, but one of them is renunciation. In other words, he's not in need of anything. He doesn't need butter, and certainly he doesn't want or need to enjoy anything in this material world. So, and he doesn't want to cause pain to other living entities. So why is he doing these things in spite of not having those needs? Because, as we've spoken before, the Lord is up to kama. Whatever he desires, he gets. And all of his energies, aparasya shakti, vipadaya vishuvite, svabhavaki jnana balakriyacha. Krishna has multifarious energies, and all of his energies are first-class servants. And Krishna's also omniscient. I was listening to a class this morning that Prabhupada was giving. Not that I was giving. I was listening to a class that Prabhupada was giving, and Prabhupada was describing how Krishna's omniscient, but he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he doesn't understand the love that Radharani has for him. He doesn't understand or experience the pleasure that Radharani has, and he doesn't see himself from her perspective. So then Prabhupada was contrasting Krishna's omniscience. If he's omniscient, why doesn't he know about these things? And then Prabhupada was speaking also about how, in one sense, Radha and Krishna are one, and then Prabhupada talked about Achinchaveda Veda Tattva philosophy, how they're one. They're the same and different. Sometimes you'll hear Prabhupada say that something is absolutely the same. So the sun and the sunshine are the same. And then from another perspective, they're different. This is really interesting. So you really need to understand this Achinchaveda Veda Tattva philosophy. So Krishna knows everything. That's true. He's omniscient. So how can we say he doesn't know? However, for the purpose, and also, you know, Radharani is his energy. So why doesn't Krishna understand? But for the purpose of ras, ras means enjoyment. Now, ras, it doesn't mean relationship. It means a taste of a particular type of relationship. That's what it means. Like you say, the ras of a particular type of food, let's say, lollipops. You don't know what a lollipop is. Anyway, the sweet. So people, each and every part of your tongue has a different type of sensor to it. We call them taste buds. Nowadays, of course, I always use computer terminology. You know, sensor. So anyway, it's a taste bud. So there's different rasas that are experienced by different parts of your tongue. So when you want to experience sweetness, you rub the lolly on the tip of the tongue. And I don't remember all the parts of the tongue. Maybe you're so more expert than me in enjoying the tongue. But somehow or other, you rub different things at different parts. You know, salty is a different part of the tongue. Bitter is a different part of the tongue. And of course, the Ayurvedic medicine is based on the different rasas, and the foods. Food is your medicine, and food gives different rasas. So, anyway, but in this particular context, talking about Krishna's pastimes, and even talking about the exchange of rasas between, or exchange of tastes between living entities, Prabhupada comments that the living entities have to be of the same species, which is interesting. So sometimes people are experiencing or thinking that they're exchanging rus with their dog. I mean, they're experiencing a particular rus, and the dog is experiencing a particular rus. It's actually the right pronunciation is rus, not ras. You know, ras is something different. That's a rasali, that's dense. Okay. So, but there's not an exchange. You understand? There's no exchange. Although you're thinking, let's take the example of someone gets a teddy bear. You're experiencing a particular ras by embracing your teddy bear. You know what a teddy bear is?
Yeah.
You know, the girls, although they all have like thousands of bears, alligators. So, but certainly the teddy bear is not experiencing any type of rust, is it? It's inanimate. It's just inanimate matter. So, to have an exchange of rust, there needs to be everyone of the same species. And that's the enjoyable thing. Those are loving exchanges that are happening there. So you may say, so how is Krishna exchanging rus with the monkeys? Because they're a different species. No, they're not. Because Krishna's functioning on the spiritual platform. We're functioning on the material platform. So when you say to your dog, I love you, and the dog says back, ruff. Or meow, that's okay. So then there's no exchange because you're not you're functioning on the physical platform, the gross material platform. Although you think there's an exchange, it's your illusion. And even, you know, of course, sometimes people talk about the men and women exchange, and as someone said, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. But anyway, and then it's really limited the exchange of rest because everybody is thinking when they're having a relationship with another, even in the human platform, they're thinking one thing and the person is thinking another thing. You know, there's no real connection right there. There's no real connection. It's just like, anyway, best is a business deal. Sorry about that. This is a yes comment. So anyway, so here's Krishna's. He's Rasa Raj. He's the king of Rasa, and also he's enjoying all these different Rasas, and the people are enjoying it. Even the baby who's crying here at the end here, is enjoying because he's being pinched by Krishna. And these people are all of people, yeah, people, are in the spiritual bodies. There's no material bodies. They're exchanging these different loving exchanges in the, and at the same time the coward men are angry at Krishna, they're enjoying because they're angry at Krishna. He's a rascal. Like that. So that this is all enjoyment and Krishna's enjoying the rust. So that's one reason why all these things are happening. Another reason why Krishna is doing all these things is to teach us what the nature of God is, that God is actually the enjoyer of different activities. And another reason is to attract us to these wonderful pastimes. Just hearing about these things, the mind just becomes absorbed in hearing about Krishna doing these things. So anyway, so this is all enjoyment. And Krishna does these things also so the people will keep talking about him. I mean, how can you talk about the Brahman effulgence? I mean, how many discussions can you have about the Brahman effulgence? Not very attractive. Therefore, in the 12th chapter of the Gita, it's very interesting, the beginning of the 12th chapter of the Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna a very interesting question. Let's go to the 12th chapter so I can read it. It's called devotional service. Arjuna says, which is better, more perfect? Those who are doing your devotional service or those who worship Brahman, the unmanifested? And of course, Krishna does say those who engage in worshiping me are best. But he says those who worship the unmanifested. Now, I don't really know how you could worship the unmanifested. Let me find out the Sanskrit. Yeah, paripasate. Yeah, it's like worship. So those who worship the unmanifested, which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed, and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth by control of the various senses, and being equally disposed to act, me, such person engaged in welfare at last, in other words, the long process. And then text 5 is very important. Klesho dikatarastesham avyakta shabda sapta chetasam avyakta hikatir dukam dehavad bir vatyate. Those whose minds are attached to the unmanifest and personal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So Krishna has given us a very easy way to achieve spiritual realization. Another verse is Raso Varjam Raso Pirsa Param Pirsani Vartate. By experiencing a higher taste, a higher pleasure, this is bhakti. Then one will automatically become detached from this material world. So here, so many wonderful pastimes of Krishna are being described. Maybe go on to the next verse. Because it's mostly, this is descriptive here. Just wanted to give a little philosophy. So anyway, so Krishna doesn't need the butter. He doesn't need to do any of these things, but he does all these things because he's enjoying. Enjoying. I mean, just like ordinary children sometimes will very much enjoy teasing their parents or teasing the older people, isn't it? And, you know, just, it's a lot of enjoyment for a little child. And Krishna is always young like that, enjoying. All right, let's go on to the next verse. Text 30. Hastagraye rachati vidim pita kolu kaladyaish chitram yanta nikita vayuna shikya bande shutadvit dvantagare drita mane ganam swangam nartapadiham kale gopya yarhi griha shesu Suvyagrachita.
When the milk and curd are kept high on a swing, hanging from the ceiling, and Krishna and Balaram cannot reach it, they arrange to reach it by piling up various planks and turning upside down the mortar for grinding spices. Being quite aware of the contents of a pot, they pick holes in it. While the elderly gopis go about their household affairs, Krishna and Balaram sometimes go into a dark room, brightening the place with valuable jewels and ornaments on their bodies and taking advantage of this light by stealing. Purport. Formerly, in every household, yogurt and butter were kept for use in emergencies. But Krishna and Balaram would pile up planks that they could reach the pots and then could pick holes in the pots with their hands so that the contents would leak out and they could drink it. This was another means for stealing butter and milk. When the butter and milk were kept in a dark room, Krishna and Balaram would go there and make the place bright with the valuable jewels on their bodies. On the whole, Krishna and Balaram engaged in stealing butter and milk from the neighborhood houses in many ways. It's also descriptive, but wonderful. I mean, who would not be attracted to these particular descriptions? The only persons who would not be attracted, according to the fourth verse of the first chapter of the 10th canto, is those who are meat eaters. That's a famous verse in the Bible. That's like the nutshell verse of the 10th canto. It says, those who are killers, pashubnat, they will not be attracted. So therefore, it's important for people to rise to the mode of goodness to be attracted to these things. Because sometimes if you read these descriptions to somebody in the mode of passion and ignorance, it just goes over their head. They can't understand it. They're not attracted to it. But if you're in the mode of goodness, then it's extremely attractive. So anyway, it's a very important verse. I'd actually read that verse as long as we have the Srimad Bhagavatam here. So you can hear it, so understand. In other words, we don't want to explain these particular pastimes in depth to those who are killing cows. Of course, we do distribute the Krishna book because Prabhupada is so merciful, he's able to present these things in such a way that even those who are killing, Prabhupada is more merciful than Krishna himself. So this verse, of course, is an important verse. Nivritta tarsharita gimanat avoshadat shocha mano vidamat kautama shloka gunanavadat puman virajeta vidha pashubnat. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system, that it is, as it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciples. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. The scriptures of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? It's so important that one actually gives up killing animals. So, anyway. So let's go on to the next verse. After that, these are all descriptive verses. Evam darshjan yushati kurute meganatini vasta steyopayar virachita kriti supratiko yataste itam stri visabhaya nayanasri mukap lokani vir vyakyatta Rahasita mukina yupalabhum aichat. When Krishna is caught in his naughty activities, the master of the house will say to him, "Oh, you are a thief," and artificially express anger at Krishna. Because Krishna is so attractive, you can't really be angry at him. Krishna will then reply, "I'm not a thief, you are a thief."
Sometimes, being angry, Krishna passes urine and stool in a neat, clean place in our houses. Remember, Krishna's urine and stool is fragrant. But now our dear friend has showed up. This expert thief is sitting before you like a very good boy. Sometimes all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there, his eyes fearful, so that his mother would not chastise him. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful face, instead of chastising him, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Mother Yashoda would mildly smile at all this fun, and she would not want to chastise her blessed transcendental child. So purport. Krishna's business in the neighborhood was not only to steal, but sometimes to pass stool and urine in a neat, clean house. When caught by the master of the house, Krishna would chastise him, saying, "You are a thief." Aside from being a thief in his childhood affairs, Krishna acted as an expert thief when he was young by attracting young girls and enjoying them in a rasa dance. This is Krishna's business. He is also violent as the killer of many demons. Although mundane people like nonviolence and other such brilliant qualities, God, the absolute truth, being always the same, is good at any activities, even so-called immoral activities like stealing, killing, and violence. Krishna is always pure, and he is always the supreme absolute truth. Krishna may do anything supposedly abominable in material life, yet still he is attractive. Therefore, his name is Krishna, meaning all attractive. This is the platform on which transcendental loving affairs and service are exchanged. Because of the features of Krishna's face, the mothers were so attracted, they could not chastise him. Instead of chastising him, they smiled and enjoyed hearing of Krishna's activities. Thus, the gopis remained satisfied, and Krishna enjoyed their happiness. Therefore, another name of Krishna is Gopi Jana Vallabha, because he invented such activities to please the gopis. So another point is, Krishna, and from another point of view, Krishna doesn't steal, because to steal something means you don't own it. Like if I go to my house and I pick up my mobile phone, you can't say I'm stealing it, because it belongs to me. I mean, from one platform. So everything belongs to Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhu mupak sarvam prabhartate. And everything enters into Krishna. So in one sense, he's not stealing anything. In another sense, he's not dancing with other wives in the middle of the night, because they're his. Everything or all persons belong to Krishna. Everyone's actually prakriti in relationship to Krishna being Purusha. It's a mistake. Actually, the man who thinks that someone is his wife, he is stealing. He is committing adultery. In a higher sense, isn't it? Because she doesn't belong to him, she belongs to Krishna. That's the point. So Krishna's, you know, even though we may say, and as far as killing, there's no question of killing. Nobody dies anyway. Krishna's helping the person. Everything he does is out of mercy. If he kills the body of the demon, then the demon gets liberated. So there's no question of killing, no question of stealing. And as far as his, you're saying he pollutes the house with his stool and urine, I mean, I'd love to have Krishna's stool and urine in my house. That would purify the house. Just like Lord Vrishabhadeva is described with an incarnation of Krishna. When engaged in jhana yoga, you know, he would pass stool and urine. And it was fragrant, like perfume, nice perfume for many, many different miles. So anyway, so these are some of the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. Anyone have any questions or comments? Or problems with Krishna doing all these things? No, it's not a good example for us. That's important. The example for us should be Lord Ram. Lord Ram is Maryada Purushottam. That means he sets a good example. Krishna does not. He sets an example of what God does, but not what we should do. He doesn't really follow his injunction in the Gita, yad yad charity shreshtas tatadi evetaro janaha, which means, as great persons act, all the world follows, but we don't follow what Krishna does. We worship him and appreciate him. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.